HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
Despite the challenges due to COVID, biggest rich Indians have seen increase in wealth. A stock market's boom, driven partly by quantitative easing and flurry of new listings, have created wealth for some. Much more than perhaps could have been expected in a year so badly disrupted by COVID. To understand where is the hot money flowing and what are the newfound assets by emerging rich Indians post-COVID, I'm in conversation with Satish Krishnamurthy, EVP, Head, Private Banking and Third Party Products, Axis Bank. Hi Satish, welcome to the show.
Thanks Nasreen, lovely being part of the show today.
So Satish, last year 2020, it was an unprecedented year in terms of a lot of things that we experienced, of course starting with the COVID, but there is one thing that most of the investors are curious is, where did the rich Indians invest in their money in 2020? Since you deal with a lot of hot money, so you can guide us and tell us, where did the rich invest their money in 2020?
Great question, Nasreen. And if you think about this, the starting point is, let's take the repo rate, right? The reference repo rate is at 4%. So what typically happens amongst the rich and the ultra HNI is that they are perennially hunting for yield, right? So consequently, what we have seen is they have looked at investment alternatives across asset classes, ranging from both public, and when I say public, it means IPOs, which are the primary issues, and secondary markets. What is also increasingly in vogue is private equity. I think a little bit of comeback we did see in real estate, and you would have seen some marquee deals getting reported in the newspaper as well earlier. So I would say that there is a comeback in some of these asset classes, and I would say equity has been a clear winner. What we also saw is, you look at the IPO market, the primary markets, we saw a big boom. I think the total number that was raised in calendar year 20 was almost 26,000 crores. And I think there were over 16 issues that I saw, and each of these saw very high participation in the HNI category. Likewise, secondary markets, you saw the bounce back from the lows in March of 2020. The markets have nearly doubled, and therefore there is a lot of money chasing publicly listed companies as well. What is also interesting are ideas like REITs and InvITs have generated considerable interest, because there is a clear choice, whether it's geographical portfolios in terms of REITs or infrastructure choices in InvITs, people are looking to diversify. Fixed income, I would say, hasn't seen as much traction, especially owing to the various credit events that we saw. But we are seeing considerable interest in fixed income ideas like AT1 bonds, especially those that have been issued by systemically important banks and market-linked debentures. So that's the way I would describe it. And private equity, again, has been a big beneficiary of HNI and ultra HNI flows. You see every other day there is a unicorn which is taking birth. And we have seen the size of category 2 AIFs increase by as much as 35% in calendar year 2020. And these are investing into early stage and growth stage startups. So all in all, I would say the trends across investment preferences are indicative of a large shift towards diversification, moving money out of conventional fixed income and going towards some of the asset classes that I just described.
It's very interesting that you mentioned about the unicorns that are getting created in India. We'll come to that question later. But at the moment, what do you think in 2021? We are almost in the mid of the year. What do you think has been the buying pattern of this rich Indians? Because when we started the year, there was a lot of conviction and optimism that probably the virus is behind us and the vaccination rollout had started. The growth forecast was quite strong. But as we moved into the year, there has been a lot of hiccups, starting with the second wave, the vaccination shortage, and of course, the growth forecast had been made new stance by the growth by the forecasters. So what do you think 2021, the next half, would look like?
Yes, very clearly, I think the country has seen some really tough times, and we continue to see that. Notwithstanding that, I would say, as far as the asset allocation of the rich are concerned, they are looking at new ideas like venture equity and venture debt more and more. You would have seen there is a clear and decisive move towards themes like ESG. And a lot of ultra HNI investors are very interested in themes like ESG. The other critical piece we are seeing is diversification towards offshore assets. So fund of fund ideas are getting very popular amongst HNIs and ultra HNIs. And they believe that it's important to diversify your overall wealth corpus, not only in domestic markets, but also in offshore markets. So I think I see a clear trend towards that. And I would say, equity markets continue to be very robust in their performance. So there needs to be continued, interest in equity as an asset class for optimal asset allocation. I would say that real estate too is beginning to slowly but surely pick up, and customers are looking to participate in this through REITs as an asset class. And I would say that, there seems to be a slew of very interesting primary market issues also lined up for the rest of the year. If you look at the calendar, right, issues like Zomato are being spoken of. And I would say that as these ideas come to fruition, we will see continued interest in the new primary market issuances as well.
So you are saying that equity, of course, remains to be the favorite among the HNIs and the rich class in India, but they're also diversifying their funds. They're also going to the foreign markets to hunt for best deals. Besides that, are you seeing any key emerging trends in wealth management now, especially after COVID?
Yeah, I think very clearly wealth management is a very old industry. Ever since humans started saving, wealth management has been in play in some shape and form. I think the key themes that I see emerging in wealth management are offshore as an asset class is getting a lot more understanding and allocation, right? And there are many ways to do this under the LRS route. Right. So every individual up to $250,000, and if it's a family of four combined together, they go up to $1 million, for example, and they can fully utilize the LRS process and look to diversify their investments abroad. So that is a clear trend that we are seeing in the wealth management industry. Two, like I said, equity as an asset class continues to draw in a lot of money, increasingly from the rich. They are seeing value, sector after sector. Right now, for example, you see the commodities are in great favor. So there is a lot of money flowing into these ideas. And I would say that from a broader trend, what's happening in the wealth management industry is very, very bespoke ideas, which are coming through the AIF route, right? So customers may want to invest in, let's say, a set of startups For example, in the healthcare sector, right? So there are these active interest in these niche ideas, and we would see that lot more sub-segmentation depending on the sector where the investors find great interest will happen. And I would say the asset class which is going to perhaps capture this growth will be AIFs.
Okay, that's quite interesting. I also wanted to ask you about another emerging asset class that was been there at least for last 5 to 6 years, but after 2020, cryptocurrency has become a hot favorite for a lot of rich investors, starting with Elon Musk. My question is, do you think cryptocurrency will replace any asset holding by the rich, especially the rich in India, and if you think that is going to replace any asset class in their portfolio, which asset class would that be?
Yes, Nasreen, I think you make a very important question. There is a lot of interest, at least you know, at this stage, curiosity around cryptocurrencies. What I would advise is extreme caution, because cryptocurrencies are still very early in their journey. There is, I mean, one thing which I don't think there can be any disagreement is the speculative nature of this asset class. It is very, very volatile. You know, you mentioned Elon Musk. So, you know, post a tweet of his, you see cryptocurrencies go up or down by 40%, 50%. And that clearly points out that it is a very, very unstable asset class, right? So for anyone who is looking to manage wealth, speculation should be the last thing on their mind. The idea should always be assess risk return trade-offs and take calculated allocations. So my assessment is that cryptocurrency is unlikely to replace any asset class completely. There are regulatory frameworks which are still, I would say, work under progress. I think there is a bill which is being discussed by the government as well in terms of how should they regulate crypto assets. And in this scenario, unless there is clarity around how you know, the government and all the key regulators look at this currency and that view is completed, I would advise you know, investors to pretty much not speculate in this asset class.
Fair enough, but you know, there's also a lot of aspirational value, you know, with the cryptocurrency, especially with the in the US. There's a lot of interest and curiosity, and there is. Do you think that it's a younger crowd which is getting more attracted to the asset class, or do you think that a mature tenured investor is also likely to put money into cryptocurrency? It's volatile. Stock markets is also volatile, of course. But yeah, it is kind of run by a very handful of people, unlike the stock markets. But do you think that this interest and curiosity for a cryptocurrency or to own a cryptocurrency, be it Bitcoin or the newer ones, the Ethereum, do you think that this excitement is only among the younger crowd, or you think the matured and tenured investors are also interested and getting curious about the rise in that asset class?
See, I think the big attraction to any speculative asset is the get rich quick, you know, theme that they all rely on. And everybody wants to get rich quickly. If they are rich, they want to get richer. So that lure should, in a way, be watched very carefully. And I would say that when the underlying asset, right, you know, the very purpose of a currency is it needs to be a store of value. To be a store of value, it needs to be popularly used as a form of exchange. So which means that if there are goods and services that can be bought in India with cryptocurrency, then it becomes more tenable as a store of value. Today, if I had to flip back and ask the question, what can I go out in the market and buy? What goods or services I can buy using cryptocurrency? I'm not too sure that the answer is very clear. So I would say that this needs to be understood very clearly. Also, in our conversations with the rich clients, they are very prudent. So they are, I mean, everyone is curious because the way Bitcoin, for example, has emerged and the fact that even Tesla bought the asset obviously has evoked a lot of interesting questions and curiosity. But I would say that whatever I have observed, it is relatively the younger people with very small tickets who are speculating in these cryptocurrency exchanges. At least that's what the market study shows.
Okay. All right. In the beginning of the conversation, you mentioned about the unicorns getting built in India. And there is a, do you agree that there is a class of new rich emerging in India? Do you agree to that?
Yeah, most definitely. There is a lot of wealth creation happening in India, led by the private markets. And clearly, I mean, we have seen enough unicorns emerge just in the last few quarters. Yes, fully agree with that.
So in your experience or your conversation with the new emerging rich in India, where are they investing? They of course have a new war chest of money along with them, which is new and fresh. So where are they investing their money now?
So Nasreen, let me just step back a moment to just give a bit of context here, right? What we have seen is currently, I think there was a Credit Suisse report which said India has close to 80,000 startups. The good news that is happening currently is almost 8% of these are getting funded. If you turn the clock back, let's say 5-6 years back, let's say in 2015, the number of startups that India had was only about 25,000. That is point one. Point two is that if you look at India's public market, the listed entities, only about 330 companies are, I think the number is something like 336 when I last checked. These companies have a market cap of over $1 billion. And these, out of these, about 100 of these were actually founded before 1975. In contrast to that, we are finding that the 100 plus unicorns that India has created, their combined market cap is about $240 billion. And two-thirds of these companies have actually been founded after 2005. So it just tells you that there is a lot of energy that the startup space is creating in India. It is leading to new jobs. And I would say that the behavior of these, freshly minted entrepreneurs is very digital savvy approach. So they are very interested in investing in ideas like venture capital, venture debt, which I mentioned earlier. They also want to build, some stable pot of money, whereby, investments in debt, publicly listed equities, and also emerging ideas like InvITs and REITs are part of their asset allocation. So I would say that, irrespective of the route they took to create their wealth, at least when they work with a bank like ours, we work through with them depending on their requirements and partner with them to make sure that they are not diverging from their financial goals that they have set for themselves and their family. So that's the way I would describe that.
Okay. So one last question before we wrap this conversation is, in India, post 2020, there has been a massive job losses. The unemployment rate is actually rising, especially after the second wave. But at the same time, we are also talking about new unicorns getting created in India. As you mentioned that the startup universe is getting funded, and there are emerging new multi-billionaires from those startups. Now, this is a dichotomy where one class or one part of the country is actually struggling with basic livelihood and the other part is actually getting richer. There's nothing wrong in it, but do you think that this dichotomy that is created probably because of COVID, this divide is getting very, very stark and it will continue in the future?
So my outlook, Nasreen, tends to be on the optimistic side here to your question. Yes, the ravages of COVID have not been easy. People who were dependent on daily earnings, right, typically in the unorganized sector, have got badly impacted, right? No two ways about it. On the other hand, when you look at the the creation of these new unicorns, what we are observing is that hitherto unknown jobs, right, like this concept of a gig economy is beginning to bear fruition, right? Very early days, but what it's giving is empowering our young people to work from the comfort of their homes with full flexibility to really unleash their creative power. And I'm seeing that not only in the startup world, but in top banks like us, in other top firms across the country. So I'm seeing that there is a clear opportunity as these new sectors are getting identified, new disruptors are getting created. They are giving a lot more job opportunities. The big call out would clearly be digital, right? I think digital-led business models, right from, whether it is solving problems in the logistics area, whether it's solving problems in the fintech area, whether it is solving problems in the manufacturing supply chain area and so on. Each of these arenas are leading to jobs being created, right? And I think in parallel, we are also seeing the creation of edtechs, right? And edtechs are working, I think, more and more in line with industry's requirements. So my forward view would be that edtechs will start getting more and more relevant and more powerful forces of creating, people who are well equipped to the demands of the next decade or so that, they are able to deal with completely a new method of working, new industries that are getting created. And I would say India's power is the number of youth that we have, a large population, I think over 60%, the median age of this country is still under 30. So I would say that they will come back. COVID-2 should go away sooner rather than later. And I would say that once there is a degree of normalcy, all this pent-up demand will wake up and perhaps help the country bounce back at a fairly rapid clip.
All right. On that note, Satish, thanks a lot for giving us your time and, of course, sharing those insights that you have mentioned about the new rich and also the old, the hot money that's been circulating in the country. Thanks a lot once again and stay safe.
Thank you so much, Nasreen. I wish you and all your listeners also the best of health and everyone should stay safe. Thanks again.
Thank you.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.